Now that brings us to chapter 29, and it opens with a tremendous verse here. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God has so many ways of reproving a man, and he can keep going on in sin. I think of the fact that so many folk that in my experience were warned before judgment fell upon them, and it falls upon them in this life. I was walking down the street one night with a friend in Dallas, Texas. A big crowd was gathered around out in front of a theater. When we walked by, we noticed that there was a wrecked automobile there, and we stopped to look at the wrecked automobile, and believe me, it was really in a sad condition. So when I got back to the seminary, I was telling several of the students about it, and one fellow says, "Do you want to know the story of that car?" And I said, "Yes." And he told me that it was driven by a high school student and his girlfriend. And they had stopped by to pick up a girl that was going to a Bible class. And she said, "No, I can't go with you tonight." Well, they said, "Get your date and go with us." Said, "No." Said, "I'm going over here to Bible class, and I'd like for you to go." And they said, "We'll take you, but we're not going." So they took this girl over, and her boyfriend was already over at the Bible class. And so on the way over, she presented Christ to them, said, "You know, I accepted Christ at this Bible class, and you need it." And they just laughed. They let the girl out at the Bible class, and in 5 minutes after they did that, speeding down a street, a car came out, hit them, and killed both of them instantly. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. Korah in the Bible is an example of that. And Dathan and Abiram and Belshazzar and Jezebel. All of these are examples of that in the Word of God. And the Word of God is filled with that sort of thing. Now we have in verse 4. Well, let me take verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And we've had a verse where it speaks of the fact that when the wicked are in power, and a group of them, why, they never solve the problems. But one righteous man is able to bring blessing to a nation. And that's what we need in this nation of ours above everything else. We don't need men today that say they've got solutions for every problem, because we know that anybody that says he's got a solution for the problems of this world, he has to say it with a tongue in his cheek. What we need today are righteous men who will stand for the right at any price. And I believe that just one of them is better than a whole party, regardless of what party it might be. This is a wonderful proverb. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Verse 4, the king by judgment established the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthrow it. You know, David made this statement. It was in one of his psalms, a righteous ruler over man, a ruler in the fear of God. And this man, he had acknowledged in his own confession, "My house is not so." Only Christ is the king who by judgment will establish the land. The king by judgment establisheth the land. And that's the reason that the coming of Christ to the earth is the only hope that the world has today. And thank the Lord, the church is going to leave before he comes to the earth. That is the promise that he's given. And this matter of giving gifts, my, how that is figured in politics today. And that has no respect of parties either. Verse 5. And it reads, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. I think that there are times when praise and applause for a man that's doing a good job is certainly in order. and merit should be recognized, of course, and it's always proper. And I'm not sure but what there's a time to stand up and cheer for an individual. But when flattery is used, it is like the overdose of honey that we've been reading about in the book of Psalms. And there are some folk that you know, the very minute they begin to speak to you, they're flattering you. They're not really telling you the thing that's upon their heart. When I was a pastor, I had a man that was always making certain requests of you and asking certain favors. And when he would call on the phone, I always knew the minute my secretary said he was on the phone, I knew he wanted something. And he always began the same way. And it went something like this. Oh, Dr. McGee, I was listening to you this past week on the radio, and I want to tell you, I never heard a message like that. I hope you're putting that message into print. Well, you know, the minute he started talking like that, I knew he was after something. And the more flattering the things he said, it was the bigger favor that he was going to ask for. Flattery is a dangerous thing because sometimes people believe it, and it's tragic when we believe flattery. Now, we have here, and I'm dropping down now to verse 10, it says, men of blood hate the perfect, but the just seek or care for his soul. Let me give it as we have it now in our authorized version. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. This means a bloodthirsty man, a man that has murder and hate in his heart. And the Lord Jesus said that if you hate your brother, well, you're guilty of murder. And Cain was guilty of murder, you see, and it was in his heart. And if you want to know how far man has fallen and how quickly he can fall, remember that God had created Adam and Eve, created them perfect. And now Adam and Eve fell, and the only thing they can bring into the world is a sinner. They brought forth in their likeness sons and daughters. Well, Cain was one of them. And here this boy is born with murder in his heart. He hates his brother. What a picture. Then we have verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it back. A fool, you talk with him, he'll tell you everything. But a wise man will hold back. He'll be very careful of what he's going to say. Verse 12, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are lawless. And that's the reason that, and we've had this before, that child that will steal from the parents, which simply means this, that the parent ought to always punish a child for taking anything that doesn't belong to him, even from the parent. Why? Because the child will imitate that. And that's true of any man in a high position. His conduct will be reflected in those that are underneath him. And that is the picture that you have. Now, I want to drop down to verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And this follows in that connection. And then verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, we've had that before, but the thing that's interesting here, we have this statement, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And the thing that's important here, a vision means actually spiritual understanding, or actually the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to give him understanding of the Word of God. We are told that in 1 Samuel 3:1, the Word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Well, the Word of the Lord was precious. That is, there was no understanding of the Word of God, and for it was precious in those days. Now, God raised up Samuel, a seer, to meet that, you know. And you remember that even Moses could say, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, that is, had an understanding of the Word of God. I personally think a spiritual discernment is one of the gifts that God has given to the church, by the way. Now, I'm going to pass over many of these proverbs. Actually, they've been before us, couched in a little different language before. Now, this chapter actually concludes the collection of proverbs that were copied out and collected by the men of Hezekiah. And now we have actually all the proverbs that are really attributed to Solomon. However, I believe the last chapter, which we'll come to, was written by Solomon himself.